Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
In on first and second, one out. Not a great spot to be in.
Ripped off the glove of Ramirez into center field. Brantley being held up initially. Now he's being sent home, and he's going to score on the RBI by Yordan Alvarez. Brantley had to wait to see if that ball got through the infield, got a late start, but still got sent home by Joe Espada, and he scores the run. RBIs in seven straight. Here's Yordan Alvarez. He rips a base hit down the line in left field. That's going to go all the way to the corner. Yordan heading to second base. Still nobody out. Line drive. That's going to be a base hit into center field. In the score, Brantley being waved home. Yuli. This game's tied at 10.
There you have it. More AT&T Sportsnet coverage. Todd Kallas, Lance Berkman filling in for our boy Jeff Blum. And a plethora of sideline help from, what, Michelle Margot filling in for Julia.
All right, don't take this the wrong way.
Okay.
But yesterday was the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Can we not put a kid in the booth for the
I saw him. I saw the kid in the press box.
For the play-by-play.
Didn't like it?
Did he call strikes and balls too?
It was pretty awful.
No.
I know he's like, what, nine? But they were like, you want to do some play-by-play? He's like, yeah. They're like, go.
Just deep freeze.
Nothing.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. And then Burke was like, oh, there's a ball inside off the plate. Maybe something like that.
I love his honesty, too.
Maybe something like that. He did everything but call the kid a dumbass. He was just like, yes. Hey, ball inside off the plate. Maybe do something like that when it's play-by-play.
So then they showed a mother with a newborn. And first, Lisa and I'm going, why is there a newborn at the game? And she had like a bow on her head, the baby. And he goes, there's a mother and her newborn daughter. At least I think it's a daughter. And I'm just going, it's so fantastic because, you know, you don't know.
That was when he also said that, you know, that baby wasn't even born when this game started.
Yes. Yeah. We've been going for over 4 hours now.
He said it started off as kids day and now it's preteen day. It's so great.
Yeah, he's great.
But I mean, I kid about the kid sucking. I mean, the kid did suck, but he's a kid. I'm just playing.
Was don't that Reed Ryan's daughter? Ryan that was doing sideline fill-in?
I don't know.
Because she actually said she aspires to be a broadcaster, so this was a big deal. And she was good.
She was polished.
Yeah.
I was like, well, good for her. She's going to do this.
She may have asked better questions than Michelle Margot.
Oh, boy.
I'm just telling you, people. You know it used to be my job, and in hiring and working with broadcast talent, you have all the time on questions. Sometimes the questions just Springer on the walk-off and
– yeah.
Just so, I was going, really?
So let's talk decisions for a
please.
Second. Because it's when did they pull Jake? Was it the eighth inning? I'm trying to look back. So
when they took him out of the game, Marisnik?
Yeah.
I think it was shortly after the collision, right? And the collision happened
It was the collision. No, when did they pull Alvarez? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, when they pulled Alvarez.
Yeah, that was the eighth
seventh?
Inning, right?
It was after a single in the eighth, or I think the eighth inning, yeah.
Yeah, it was the eighth inning. Alvarez singled to center. Brantley scored. Gurriel scored. So Alvarez just drives in two runs, which makes it 10-10 at that point. And they pull him to put in Jake to pinch run at first base. So you got one on. And you know, you're looking to get that extra run, and that's when the bases get loaded and Marisnik, there's the fly ball to right field. Calhoun makes the play at the plate. Marisnik tags up. The problem I had with that is that you're really running a risk in the kind of game that this was. When you take Alvarez out, who has been an RBI machine, he's averaging an RBI per hit. Think about that for a second. Yeah. He's hitting 342. He has 25 hits and how many plate appearances? 73 at bats. He's got 25 hits. So he's averaging an RBI every time he gets a hit, and he's hitting at a fantastic clip. So he's a huge RBI guy in the middle of this lineup already. And then you remove him for the pinch runner and Jake. And I understand it in a way because, you know, a ball to the gap, Jake scores. This is a whole different ball game. It's 11-10. But I was worried that, you know what, a game like this goes extra innings. There's going to be a big moment, and it never fails in baseball where it happens. And it did, because in the 10th inning or in the 9th inning, it was first and second, two outs. So there's a runner in scoring position and Mariznick's at the plate.
Yep.
And I thought, boy, with a guy on second, how much would you love to have Alvarez sure. up at this moment but to be able to drive in that now. Run. Now, everything worked out. Jake walked
right.
and that at bat, so it didn't hurt them. And then Tyler White struck out, of course. But
don't get me started again.
But what I'm saying is it didn't backfire. It didn't cost them the game, but it certainly could have. And I didn't like the move of taking out a bat as hot as Alvarez's is right
now. And I
got
the same issue that you're talking about in the fact that it didn't cost them the game, but it could have
right.
in the one I'm going to bring up. But just to kind of rebuttal on what you said. Sure. The only thing I would say in taking him out is defensively, he looked shaky. That ball in the gap in left field, in left center field, they even talked about the fact he just doesn't have enough reps on such a quirky outfield wall, like
yeah.
with the Crawford boxes and that little niche past the Crawford boxes, that he really looked kind of uncomfortable and out of place in the outfield. And obviously, AJ likes to put in, I forget, the Cupid outfield or whatever
Cupid
they call
shuffle.
It, the Cupid shuffle outfield, but they love doing that when they can go across the board, which is fantastic defense. But in a game, to your point, and supporting it, I also get, hey, this is a 10-10 game. Yeah. This is a game that's going to be a slugfest, and obviously the runs were just going to keep on coming. In one of those games, you want to have your best offensive lineman available.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, he hits for average, he drives in runs, and he hits for power. Any one of those three things could be useful in an extra inning game. Now, I mean, it is a good point about the defensive replacement, but you do that when you have a lead and you don't want to choke it. When you're down 10-8 and this guy just drives in two runs to tie the game mm-hmm. as a rookie with less than 100 at-bats in his career, and he comes up that clutch, I leave that clutch bat in. I mean, to me, think about this. If Brantley was somewhat of a liability, would you have pulled him and defensively? You leave that bat in the lineup. So especially if it's tied, because there's no guarantee sure. from that point on whether you're going to ever have another lead to defend.
And then we get into extra innings, and we get to the one that really kind of torqued me, mm-hmm. which was you get Reddick with a leadoff double. And obviously Chirinos comes up after him. And I tweeted this. You could call me a baseball Pierce. You can call me whatever you want. And I know that AJ really likes to he likes to believe in his offensive lineup to do yep. things. But because it's the bottom of the 10th inning, because if you score, it's over. How you're not bunting there to make sure with one out, a fly ball can win it for you and you don't need another base hit. How you're not having Chirinos just move him over one station, get him to third base with only one out and leave Springer to get you a fly ball that wins the game. I just don't know. And it almost backfired him twice because now on the replay, I don't know what replay they were looking at. I thought he was dead to rights and so did Berkman live. On the replay, I was like, still looks like the throw beat him.
Who, Reddick?
Yeah, at second base.
Yeah. I thought he was out.
I thought they were going to turn the call around.
I did too.
I didn't think they were going to confirm it at all.
The problem was is the only angle they had, the foot
was
in the
it.
Way. So, you know, because what you saw, this was my, you know, dumbass assessment of it, but what you saw was the tag being applied before the impact of the hand hitting the heel of
right.
the hand hitting
Good
the base.
Yep.
That doesn't necessarily mean that the fingers weren't touching the base
right.
prior to the tag. But it was such a bang bang that his, you know, I mean, the tips of his fingers
right.
could have been on the base, and then the tag is applied, and then the palm hits the base, and you see the
yeah,
jolt of the stop.
Think about the game operation.
So that little split second is, I think, why he was also.
I agree with you.
One, the foot was blocking the hand, and then it's like, okay, but the fingers could be touching. We don't know, so therefore we're not going to overturn it.
Right.
Because the guy on the other side, the umpire had a better angle than the camera did.
Right. And I liken it to the game operation. You don't know once that the buzzer goes off when you're. It's the minute that you're. little deal touches the side of the operation game that you're looking for, not for the reaction afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, and we don't know when that fingertip touched the bag,
yeah.
So they left it. But again, it all works out for them because Springer comes up, clutch hit, into the gap, wins the ball game. But the whole time, I'm basically screaming, going, "You got lucky twice, because you almost, they almost, if that's overturned at second base, two outs, nobody on, with unless you get a home run, you're going to the 11th, going, oh my God, and you had just, you're in the driver's seat to win the game if you just move him over, and then because you didn't move him over, he was almost picked off at second, so he escaped two huge plays that would have gotten AJ would have been drilled in the post game,
yeah.
But instead, Springer comes up big and they win the game.
Baseball gods giveth and taketh away, right? I mean, the sure. Jake Marisnyk play at the plate could have been the 11th run, and then that's a ball game.
Right.
Or, you know, they get maybe a favorable call in the 10th inning. So it goes. It
probably worked out because he got the walk.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a terrible situation, but you're right. It would have been a completely different dynamic had they lost, and you know Marisnyk didn't come through with that at bat. And I was kind of nervous when a count. I guess it was like a 3-2 count at that point. And I was like, "Is he going to get this walk, or is he going to get a hit?" And I was a little worried about it too. It made me pay attention to that to the at bat when you tweeted it out.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I mean, it could have been costly. The bunt, the not bunting. I think that's a great point too. But just remember. I agree with you. I think the book says move him over. Now you've got at least one opportunity to get a fly ball, anything mm-hmm. out there. Although, to be fair, you've already had one play at the plate, and those outfielders, pretty good arms in the Angels outfield. I mean, Trout has a cannon. Calhoun's a cannon.
Calhoun's got a gun.
That's a short left field, so you're probably not going to run unless it's at the Crawford box wall. So I a little bit, but remember – Astros are very analytical, and they'll look at percentages. And if it's a slight percentage better that, you know, a guy coming up, you've got Chirinos who hits what? He's hitting 225. But then right after that, you got a guy hitting 300 Altuve after that.
But that's why.
You feel confident they could still drive in those runs.
But that's why I'm not opposed to wasting Chirinos on a bunt, so to speak. But the other thing that has to factor in, too, is maybe he can't bunt. There's guys in this league that just can't get a bunt down.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you already burned Stassi. So you didn't have another catcher that could slide in should it go an extra inning. So if that's the case, then I understand it.
Right.
But that's stuff that I would think AJ would have addressed in
post-game. Because ideally, you could throw in a Miles Straw to lay down a bunt, maybe be safe.
Exactly right.
Extend the inning. But yeah, you're right. You didn't have that luxury because Chirinos was... Already in place Stassi, for Stassi, so yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Where are you guys? I don't know if you guys saw, but the catcher interference and, you know, the fact that...
Oh, that was brutal, too.
I mean, you can't review that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he would have been on base, right?
Did you see it, Barry?
I did not see it.
So, Reddick comes in as a pinch hitter and a chance to... They're playing from behind at this time.
Yep.
Two on. They're starting to get some headway. They're starting to chip into the lead. And on the very first pitch, Reddick is adamant that he hit the top of Lucroy's glove. And, of course, the a-holes on Twitter are like, this is karma. Lucroy got, you know, rearranged because of the fact that he wasn't honest that his glove got hit. No catcher's going to admit that he made, because that's an error on him. But showing the replay, his bat did hit the top of the mitt. But they said you can't, there's no way that it's not a reviewable play, which sucks because now Reddick's so mad in the box, you can tell this is a gone at bat. He just, and then once he strike out, I think. He chased a slider
he did strike out.
And he had plenty of choice words for the umpire because he thought he got screwed.
And I think there was another catcher that said, you can tell he got hit because the way he moved his hand after the fact.
Yes. Yep.
So.
Yeah, so we can get into that as well. But lots of Astros talk after that game yesterday. But the good news is they did what AJ wanted. They won the series. They won their last two games. Head into the break with their starting pitcher on the mound for the All-Star game tomorrow night, too, in Justin Verlander. We can talk about that and a whole lot more. But right now, we do want to tell you about the people at BestHotelRates.com. Because I'm telling you right now, if you're going on vacation, whether it be for business or with your family before the summer ends, and you want to get the kids somewhere, I know you've been paying too much for hotels if you haven't been going to BestHotelRates.com. Because they've done all the work for you. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated deals with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they pass the savings on to you. It's just a fantastic way to make sure you save money on where you stay. And all you do is go to BestHotelRates.com. You put in your dates of travel and your destination city, and all of these different choices come up for you to choose from, and they're all great hotels. A lot of them you may have stayed at before, but you've probably paid too much. This time, you can avoid that and get the best service and the best customer service with BestHotelRates.com. They make sure that the rooms are safe and secure, and so is your reservation. They take care of all of the dirty work, so all you got to do is stay clean. Check them out at BestHotelRates.com. It's in the name, BestHotelRates.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, thanks for filtering in on the first half of the show. We appreciate you seeping through the shady airwaves to find happiness and paradise. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city.
I see they fixed your microphone. Try not to break it this time, Barry.
I see you had two on the desk at the start of the show.
Well, I was swapping them. So this one was over here temporarily because this mic is better than this mic. This mic is old and sucks.
See, that's what happens. You keep messing with stuff.
Nope.
So you like swap
it. Getting it back to normal.
And then you aggravate AD.
First of all, you broke it. Okay? So you can suck it and stop saying it because you're the one that caused all this in the first place.
There's no evidence at all.
Bitch, there's video evidence of you breaking it.
That's not accessible.
All right, I'm going to Twitch right now. I'm pulling it up.
Can't you do that during the show? You can't do that during the show?
Turn my...
Basically, you don't know how much stuff he does during the show. It is more than possible.
I could totally do that.
I just didn't know he was into swapping like that.
Okay.
He was just swapping out mid-show. He had one in his hand and decided wasn't right for him, so he swapped it out.
Yeah, I had a feeling he was a swapper.
I was two-miking it.
That's your thing.
Somebody wants to know, why did y'all remove the Lance remix song from the podcast? So
someone caught on.
It's funny because when we did the song, Lance didn't know we were doing it. And then, of course, snitch-ass listeners. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what show. Every show has snitches. And Lance and I actually discussed this. But every show has snitches. So there are people that will listen to us, and then if we say something about AJ or Fred, even if we're just busting balls,
right. They
immediately, they're talking about you. They're talking about you on the
Usual Suspects. Snitches get stitches.
Bitches. Yeah, they're talking about you on the Usual Suspects. Same thing. We were talking about the song and the rant, and then we played it, and people are on Twitter tagging Lance and me. They're roasting you on the show. They're flaming you, bro. No, and I told you, there was no flaming. I took your rant and I put it to a beat. That's it. I was like, if you want it, I'll send you a copy. And because he hadn't heard it.
Right.
And we had already played it. I sent him a copy. He was like, bro, this reminds me of the old 1560 days, the creativity behind this. This was great. He liked it. He thought it was funny. He tweeted it out. I can't wait till Barry releases it. It's really good. And I knew Lance would be like that because that's not, you know, being like, that's not Lance's style.
Yeah, see, I've
well,
I've,
you almost did the South Park. By
I
way.
Almost did.
And when that would have been great by itself.
Right.
Oh, it would have been fantastic. Now, I've had listeners snitch on me and then people snitching on somebody else about me. And I just know right away not to look at it until I actually listen to the audio because 9 times out of 10,
they're blowing it out of proportion.
It's a very inaccurate description. Yeah. Of what happened. So.
So what I did, though, when we played it is just to make sure, because there are some of you out there who can take things and blow it out of proportion or take it out of context or anything else. So I didn't want to make the song available on the podcast until I was for sure that, you know, there was no issues and whatever. We played it. It was funny. And then Lance was like, love it. Drop it. I put it on my YouTube. And that's it. So it's on the YouTube. If you want to go to @BarryIsFunny on YouTube, it's right there. You can check it out. But yeah, we just pulled it out of the podcast just out of respect to Lance. So that's
it. Yeah, no doubt about it. And because of the fact that, like you said, but we respect Lance and all of the things he does. And he's got a ton of stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
And so if he had problems with any of it, We respectfully look, like you said, we bust balls around here.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, we're not trying to sink one of our own.
Right. I'm not trying.
Aside from the boss.
If he would have felt like, hey, that could cost me, you know, something in my career or NFL Network or whatever, I would never do that to Lance. It's all fun and games. But so that's why I was like, if we just play it and we have a good time, then that's it. And then if he decides that it's okay, then we can drop it later. And that's exactly what happened. But it was out of respect to Lance that I had it pulled from the podcast before we went any further. So
that's absolutely the way it should be done. You handle it the right way. And he handled it how we knew he would. But at least we kind of looked out for him. Anything else on?
Somebody said Berkman's a good broadcaster. It reminds me of Romo. It's crazy how Lance calls pitches and hits and stuff. And he is good.
I love how he gets on the umpires, too. I love how he just won't cut him any slack, but he's also honest. He's like, I don't care what your little yellow box thing on the side of the screen says.
As a hitter.
But all day, he's not been giving him that call, and now suddenly he's giving him that call. So I agree with them. It's a bad call. I love that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Speaking of bad calls, somebody texted us and said, sorry, guys, but y'all are wrong. And A.J. Hinch proved it. Mariznick scored when he came in for Alvarez. Y'all played the if game too much. Oh, well, if you knew what you were talking about, you wouldn't have sent that text, because Mariznick did not score. He was called out at the plate because of the collision. So once again, you're wrong. And could Yordan Alvarez have been thrown out of the plate? Absolutely. And then you would have had his bat in there in the ninth inning. So thank you for playing, but you were wrong sending your text telling us we're wrong.
Yeah, Mo, we appreciate you listening before you get on the air.
Was it Mo?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, I was like, what? Oh, that would be outstanding.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what else is outstanding? Get Upside is outstanding because the money you get back is outstanding. That is for dang sure. Guys, go download Get Upside right now. Trust me on this. You're not going to regret it. And even if you don't like the app, you don't have to use it. There's no sign-up fees. There's no commitments. There's no requirements. The whole purpose of using Get Upside is to get cash back. That's it. And if you don't like it, you don't like money, don't use it. Now, when you download it and put it on your phone, make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That will get you extra cash back on your first fill-up. And that bump can be pretty good. And look, I've talked to listeners already, and if you don't know what GetUpside does, it gets you cash back when you fill up your car with gas or you fill up your belly with food. It's that simple. So you go out to eat, use GetUpside, you get cash back. You go fill up your car, use GetUpside, you get cash back. I had somebody send me screenshots. They got over $4 on a fill-up and then on their meal in the same day. If someone were to come up to you at the end of the day when you filled up your tank and you ate lunch and said, hey, here's $8, would you be like, nah, I'm good. I don't want that $8 back in my pocket. Absolutely, you're taking that $8. That's why I want you to use GetUpside. That's why, at least try it. Give it a week or two. See if you like it. And use that promo code Barry. It's going to get you a little bump in your initial account, a little seed money for you. And then just start finding the deals for you. There's a map. It's so easy to find a deal around you. You pull up the map, you look, you go to it, you claim the deal. Couldn't be simpler. Like I said, no fees, no catch, no gimmicks, just you getting cash back for the stuff you're already paying for. Go right now. Put it on your phone. It's free in the app stores, iTunes and Google. It's in both. Look for Get Upside, all one word. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the second half of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. We appreciate you attempting to entertain you and talk some sports and other things as we take you through your business day.
Apparently, they played the Dirty Bitches remix on the John Over Hill.
Oh, did they?
Was it John Over Hill with Dell?
Yes.
Show? They played it on there, so.
Either that or it's The Bench.
No, I think it's the John Over Hill.
I know, I said
John Over Hill.
Because the other Del. One isn't yeah. John Lance and Dell. And
right.
It's The Bench.
I get confused. Because Lance does
30 minutes of the following show, so it's John Raheel
when
Dell,
he's not
and Lance for 30 minutes.
He's not doing NFL Network or his reflux is acting up or he's big time.
Yeah. So the four of them are together for 30 minutes and they got a shirt. And we're together for 3 hours, no shirt. I get it.
You know that's going to end soon and then you're going to have one less thing in your back pocket.
I'm going to be so mad when I can't bitch about shirts anymore. you're taking away all my fun. Literally all my fun.
Seriously, I had a buddy of mine on Saturday that I play hoops with, and someone needed a wristband or something like that. I was just going in my bag. He's like, bro, what about, I go, dude, slow down, all right? in time. He goes, you know what, man? I don't want any kind of shorts, shirts, or wristbands. Just get me one of those usual suspect shirts. I'm cool. I'm like, hey, man,
there you
that's
go.
That's a smart man.
That's what's up.
That's what we like hearing.
I saw you ran a poll before the show, Nicholas, about what people wanted to talk about. I, too, ran a poll yesterday. Mm. I was having a discussion with my co-host on TV, Lauren Leal. Mm-hmm. And we were making. I was making fun of her having an iPhone. I called her basic. Mm. And she said, because I have an Android phone, that I was ratchet. And it prompted the discussion of what would you rather be? Would you rather be basic or would you rather be ratchet? And so I put up a poll on the Twitters. Very simply, would you rather be basic or ratchet? What do you think most people would choose?
Basic.
Basic.
That was the case. 70% of the people said they would rather be basic than ratchet.
Yeah.
My vote would have been ratchet.
Why?
Because I feel like basic, you're kind of made to be a fool. Ratchet is it? We all do ratchet stuff. We just don't tell people. We all are ratchet in our own way.
Yeah.
But basic is one of those things where you're oblivious to your own stupidity, kind of.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it just because you're just not? You just have no color to your to your life and your personality.
You're not vibrant and you're not over the top.
So according to Urban Dictionary,
Okay. Basic
is someone unflinchingly upholding the status quo and stereotypes of their gender or race without realizing it. They believe they're unique, that they're amazing, that they're a complete catch when they're really boring, painfully normal. And just meh, just like, so you think you're like, aha, I'm the man, and you're basic.
Yeah.
So you're made to be a fool, kind of.
I've never heard of it.
To that point. I think you're the Ralph Lauren of the Met Gala. You're just kind of middle of the road. You're not going to take any chance. You know, the Met Gala is the one where everybody has all the crazy outfits and they go way over the top.
Uh-huh.
And Ralph Lauren's kind of like everything's red, white, and blue and pressed, you know, khakis, and it's just middle of the road.
I don't know.
I feel like ratchet could only be fun temporarily, but there's some longevity that goes with being basic. I feel like being ratchet will catch up to you. That's why I choose being basic.
Yeah, I feel like basic, there's some positives. I feel like ratchet is kind of a negative connotation.
Basic is not positive.
I don't think it's negative.
Yeah.
It kind of
someone calls you a basic bitch?
Well, bitch is going to change everything.
But that's the context that it's used.
Well, that's
in.
The only way Barry uses it. Right. When he says basic, exactly. He follows
but,
it up
but
with
I'll
a bitch.
But I'll call dudes basic bitches. Like, if there's a dude that's basic, I'll be like, that dude's a basic bitch. That's just the, I don't know. But like ratchet, same thing. Dudes and females can be ratchet. But like ratchet, at least you're having a good time. You're just doing ratchet stuff. But when you're doing ratchet stuff, you're still having a good time.
Look, Barry Warner's 80 and he's still ratchet, so.
See, when you go skinny dipping. And your pool.
See, you got to go there, and then it's the whole bad visual, and then it's just.
See, you got that hairy gut with that 3-inch Audi belly button that
when
looks
you said
like
3
a penis.
Inch, I thought you were going somewhere
no,
else.
And then you're out there just doing ratchet stuff. You thought I was going to curse, didn't you?
It sounded like that for
that's
a second.
That's why I did stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're out there doing ratchet stuff, but you're having fun doing it.
Ratchet with the way you speak, sir.
I would rather be ratchet than basic, is all I'm saying. And so you two basic bitches voted. See?
I will admit that ratchet is less
boring. Well, you ratchety ass.
I'll take it. That's a compliment to me. But 70% of the people said they would rather be basic. That surprised me a little bit. Some people said, what about both? And there is a basic ratchet. There's both.
A basic ratchet?
Yeah, I would never want to be basic and ratchet.
That's not good at all.
No, because then you're just doing boring stuff in a ratchet way.
I got bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Your Houston Astros have lost A.J. Reed.
Former
second round draft pick.
Oh, no!
Claimed off of waivers by the Chicago White Sox. Therefore, he is no longer in the Astros system. He basically had no chance of cracking the lineup or playing up to his potential.
How will we ever go on?
I do not know. Since we wrapped up the Jonathan Lucroy and Jake Marisnyk collision, word now is that he has a fractured nose and he does have a concussion and that the NMT specialist for his nose and nasal issues will examine him after the All-Star to figure out where they go from there.
By the way, speaking of the song Dirty Bitches, AR Platinum said he thought the remix was going to be about Joel not flushing the urinal.
Mm-hmm. And as I told other people, I thought you, those who say that, I thought you were the kind of guy that sits down when you pee. But
you're talking AR Platinum. He sits down. Yeah,
I saw that. I saw that response.
Yeah, but we won't be doing any songs about it. We'll keep it between us.
Did you see the catch that Trout made in center? Somebody asked about that. Pretty damn athletic play, if it wasn't a catch. How does he miss that though? The ball literally went under or over his glove and got trapped. The timing on that is just a fraction of a second. Like, you're talking about splitting hairs, literally, the way the ball, to get trapped behind his glove.
Amazing play.
It really was. And then have the concentration to catch the ball on the way down. Pretty special talent, Mike Trout. I mean, that's definitely like a hot take. That dude is, unbelievable.
You sleep on him because you're so conditioned and used to how good he is that you're just like, eh. Mm-hmm. When you look at the fact that he hit two home runs, you know, that he's on a tear, like we're talking about Yuli, but you look at the tear he's been on since he was in Arlington this week. I think he hit five home runs this week.
Yeah.
And when he runs around the bases, you look at him and like Lisa's like, who's that? And I'm like, that's the best player in the game.
Yeah, by far.
You know, he wears baggy clothes. He doesn't wear everything all ironed on him. But the dude is, like you said, athletic in the outfield, smart plays. Like, he doesn't lollygag under balls with runners that could possibly tag on second and third.
Yeah.
He's always running behind the ball so that he can throw it with something behind it. He plays the game the right way. And he, you know what? He just, it's amazing he doesn't get more attention, more endorsements, all those things, especially playing outside of L.A. But hands down, as good as you love these Astros, you got to tip your cap. He's the best player in the game by a large margin.
Yeah, he's kind of the LeBron of his era in that you could literally give him the MVP every year. Because if the MVP were just who's the best player in baseball, you just give it to Mike Trout every year. I don't think he would get many arguments in the American League over that. It's just, that's just what he is and who he is. And we're lucky we get to watch guys like that play. I mean, there's...
Oh, for sure. Because I was absolutely amazed by the play. And I'm not sure if his two at-bats were successful. It was like the two home runs came later. But you never know with Trout.
Did you see his average versus the Astros?
Mm-mm.
Hitting 200.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a good scouting report. You can hold a guy like Mike Trout to 200 versus your team. You're doing pretty good.
No doubt. And law of averages, like, you know, he's touched up a couple of guys now in this series. But still, overall, when you think of a guy of his caliber hitting that low against your team, you'll take it every time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, again, I think that we sleep on how good of a talent we're watching on a nightly basis. It's like the people that watch, you know, Jordan every night in Chicago and otherwise, they just kind of took it for granted.
The only guys that he hits really well, I pulled up they show you career stats versus Astros pitchers. He's got a 400 average against Chris Devinsky. Who doesn't as of late?
Lately, yeah.
He's got a 375 average against Will Harris. And Colin McHugh, he's hitting 333. Everybody else is 250 or below. It's pretty damn good when you talk about one of the best hitters in the game and the best player in the game.
Boy, you're right. The circle of death for Devinsky has turned into the circle of breath. And all you hear is the exhale when someone rips a shot off of him. That thing's awful. Doing nothing.
It's awful. It really is awful. It's not a good thing. But when we get to the flip side after this break, can we discuss UFC?
Please.
A little bit.
I'll make a deal with you.
What?
We'll do that if we can also get to the news that we missed over the weekend that we haven't got to, that people were clamoring for us to chime in on as well.
Absolutely. Women's soccer.
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
And the Clippers.
Oh, absolutely. We do got to get to that, too. Maybe we'll do that first, and then we'll get... Because somebody asked us, think the Masvidal celebration and post-fight conference was too much? So I'll save that. I'll put that in the queue, but you're right. Let's talk Kawhi.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's talk Rockets, and then we'll also get some UFC, maybe third hour. We'll do that.
That means we got a whole heck of a lot to get to hour and a half, or a little less than that. So with that being said, before we get to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff and his staff, how do I know how good they are? Because I switched about 2 years ago. The thousands of dollars that I saved over my previous company made me a believer, so much so that I re-upped with them last week again on a 3-year deal. And the reasons are simple, because they make sure that they care there to talk to you, to ask questions, to find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business or your family? With all those things taken into consideration, they get the best plan and the best rate possible for you. You're happy and they are too, because they're 100% honest. They're never going to lie to you. You're happy because you got a company you can trust when you do business. And that is so valuable today in no matter what field you're in and what deal you're trying to do. So take my word for it or don't. Check them out. You can do the research, infuseenergy.com, or you can call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and they take it from there. Essentially, it's very simple. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. But when you really check out everything that they have to offer, you realize that the next thing you need to do is infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Very baseball heavy after all of the goings on at Minute Maid yesterday, and we hopefully covered that adequately for you guys.
I feel like we did.
I think we did too. And I, you know, one of the things that happened kind of in the still of the night over the weekend when we were just minding our own business, having some time off, that everybody wanted us to kind of chime in on is the fact that out of the blue, Paul George was traded from the Thunder to the Clippers, supposedly. He had been talking all along with Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi said, if PG-13 gets there, he's going too. And lo and behold, just like that, Kawhi and Paul George heading to the Clippers to create one hell of an in-city, in-building rivalry between the Clippers and the Lakers.
My first thought was, that's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
That's a lot going on behind the scenes with Kawhi and his camp. Obviously, the discussions with Toronto and the Lakers, and remember, he said there was the leak that he wanted Magic involved in the discussions with the Lakers, and then there's the whole Doc thing, and you remember Doc Rivers of the Clippers was fined for praising Kawhi Leonard. They fined him for tampering, which now the league probably looks at that and goes, oh, and then Kawhi ends up a Clipper. That's kind of weird. Then there's the whole Paul George getting to the Clippers and dating Doc's
formerly dating
Doc's daughter and cheated on her. And then it's like all this. And then they had to work the trades out and get them coordinated to both get the. There's just a lot going on.
So, and I had said Kawhi was going to be with the Clippers all along. But my only, and I said that before the playoffs started, I said that during the season, but I did not see them, one, winning the championship. And two, because of the fact that the way this negotiation had been drawn out, because there was so much drama, and he said, after the playoffs, look, I'm going to give the Raptors the last shot. I thought, well, I could be very well wrong. I think the Raptors got a shot to really do what's right for everybody and run it back. Then I wake up and find out Paul George is traded, and the first thing on my mind is, well, Russ is next. Because what they're doing is a complete reset, and it's so dangerous because if you're OKC, it's one thing if you reset and you're the Knicks, right? Because you're still going to be front and center whether you suck or you're on top of the basketball world. Or the Lakers, who, again, sucked even after they got LeBron. But guess what? They were still conversational and relevant. If you're the Oklahoma City Thunder in a small market and the only game in town, and you go from on top of the world to sucking, you as a fan base run the risk of that team also heading out of town and going somewhere else. Because if you look at the track record, there have been plenty of instances where cities just give up and stop following a team if they don't win.
Yeah.
And Sam Presti's doing that now. And it's going to be real interesting to see what happens going forward, because why would you keep Russell Westbrook if the main piece that you got from the Clippers in this deal, aside from a boatload of draft picks, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is one of the best up-and-coming point guards in the league and had a hell of a rookie season. Russell Westbrook plays the same position. So the big thing is that Russ has got 4 years and 171 left. And that's a monster deal. The last year of the deal is 47.5, 48 mil.
Yeah.
But I think what it says to me is they're starting over, and anybody for the right price can have Russell Westbrook.
So what was in the trade now? Because I thought it involved...
So you can't give up first-round picks in consecutive years. So the unprotected picks that OKC obtains from the Clippers are their first rounds in 2022, 2024, 2026, 2028. They have two right to flop, flip-flop picks and exchange picks, picking positions with the Clippers outside of that. And then they also got Danilo Gallinari.
That was who I was trying to remember because that was, I thought, one of the, okay, well, they got some
play.
Value.
Yeah, Gallinari can play.
He's a player. So they got some value besides the picks.
And Gilchrist Alexander, who, like I said, was one of the top rookies last year. And he came out he was a one and done at Kentucky. People that watch this kid play say he is going to be a stud in this league. So if that's the case and Presti knows that he's evaluated talent correctly, one's got to go at some point. And if he's your point guard of the future, then what's Russell Westbrook right now, especially when you got no one around him? Because then they followed it up today by trading Grant to the Nuggets for a first-round pick down the line. And you're like, he's just blowing the whole thing up.
Well, it kind of feels like they're now doing the Celtics model when they started over, which was, all right, let's just stockpile draft picks. We'll get some young talent in here. They got Gallinari, like you said, Gilchrist. You got a proven leader in Westbrook. And now if they do decide that, all right, we're going to completely reset, let's just move everybody. And that's the big talk now, obviously, here in Houston is Westbrook destined for Houston and would you want him and all that stuff. But just from an OKC perspective, I guess if you got guys that don't want to be there.
That's where I was going.
You'd rather get something than nothing. But Paul George was still under contract for at least two more years, right?
Three, I think.
Yeah, the third year option that he has left was a player option. Mm-hmm. So 2021 was a player option year. But you still got two more chances to try to win.
You
got to
believe if you're Russell Westbrook, you feel like you've been left at the altar because he was the guy that when Paul George, when everybody thought he was gone to L.A., they announced it at a Russell Westbrook house party. Mm. And they were supposedly boys, and this was a great deal and a coup for OKC. And then when you read the story, in the middle of the night, Paul George and his agent asked the Thunder for a trade. Presti found a way to make it work. They only wanted to go to L.A. and got it done with the Clippers. And just like that, he went from, by the way, July 7th in OKC is supposed to be Paul George Day.
Oh.
Because it happened right after free agency last year that the mayor made the proclamation July 7th is Paul George Day. Ugh. Well, this year it was probably sell your Paul George jersey day.
it's what forced Presti to make those decisions. When Paul George came up to him and requested that trade, that is what initiated everything, in my opinion, because you don't want to go through that situation all over again. Finding a player that can work with Russell Westbrook, I feel like it was the trade request that said, you know what, at this point, we might as well start all over.
But so, here's the thing. I agree that that's certainly what it was. But if you're OKC, hey, look, we've got you for at least two more years, and we've got Westbrook for at least three more years. Sorry, bud, but we're gonna ride this wave all the way to the shore. And then when you guys walk, then we'll flip the switch and maybe consider a rebuild. But we feel like with you two guys, if we could do some other moves, we might be close because you guys are superstars.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and from that regard, why do you just decide, let's just blow it up?
I feel like superstars can get away with it, man.
He's there through at least 2021.
So you're right.
And then Westbrook is there through 2022. So you got two more guaranteed years to be contenders in the West, especially with the parity.
So to what Nick said, I was like, well, but if I'm Sam Presti, so what? I don't care you requested a trade.
Yeah.
You got a contract. Play it out. Then you can go wherever you want to go. But just because you ask doesn't mean that I have to go through with it. And because there's more parity in the league. Now, instead of in order to win a championship, you got to have three superstars or more. Mm-hmm. Now, the norm across the board, when you look at Brooklyn having KD and Kyrie, and everybody kind of, it's thinning out now because KD left a Golden State situation to where they're two and then Draymond.
Sure.
You look at the fact that if you got two, you can compete. So as long as you had those two guys,
you're still talking about a year and a half at least, right? Because then by the trade deadline of year 2020, before his contract would be up at 2021 for the player option, if you haven't done anything in a year and a half, then you can pull the trigger and get some assets for him.
And it used
so you
to
still
be,
don't lose him.
And it used to be, hey, who are your three superstars, and then what kind of role players do you have? Now the way you gauge the NBA is, who's your third best player? In Golden State, it's Draymond. In the Lakers situation, it's probably Kuzma. Yeah. Clippers, you're looking at that. But as long as you got two and a serviceable third guy, you can compete as long as you stay healthy. That's why Sam Presti had to say to himself, look, there's something we don't know. Like, maybe they, you know, all this about, because look, Barry, the point you made, and we can get into this, but the point you made about the Rockets, I kept thinking about, is so spot on for the Thunder as well, which is the two constants you point out that have been through everything the Rockets have done right and wrong, with a lot of wrongs, James Harden, Daryl Morey. When you look at OKC, you look at the two constants that are still standing after Kevin Durant, Paul George, Serge Ibaka, all the different teams they had, James Harden, all the guys you had, Sam Presti, Russell Westbrook. If it ain't working, maybe he just decided, look, I'm going to pull the plug now before I really take it on the chin hard later.
Yeah.
And saved his own job in the process, possibly.
Very well. Could be.
So, all right, we got 2 hours in the books. Just got some NBA talk out of the way. An hour still to go on the show, so plenty more to get to, including that news in the MMA and the UFC this weekend that we'll talk about as well. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. You can call that number, text that number, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.